Interview chair, and that is First District Congressman John Larson. Always a pleasure to visit with a congressman. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning. Good
morning.
Good
morning, Brad.
And a lot to talk about today. You are, by the way, a member of the very influential House Ways and Means Committee. Are you the senior Democrat on that committee?
No, I'm not the senior Democrat on the committee. Sandy Levin, who is retiring, is stepping down as the senior Democrat. John Lewis, the legendary John Lewis, is right behind him. But the leading Democrat from Springfield, Massachusetts, who you should have on sometime, and a great guy, former mayor of the city, is Rich Neal. Mm-hmm. He is the top Democrat. I'm fourth in line in charge of Social Security, and also I'm on the Tax Writing Committee.
Right. Social Security,
which we were talking about earlier. We got here.
And very important.
And we would like to get into it certainly this morning if we can. But
sure.
Explain to our audience, because they might not understand. I mean, House Ways and Means, like we said, very influential committee.
What does it do? It's the oldest continuous committee in the Congress, and it was called Ways and Means because it provided at one point it was both appropriations and taxation. So that's you had to come up with the ways, you know, to come up with the bills and the programs for the country, and then the means to pay for them. And then during the Civil War, it broke off and became two separate committees. Ways and Means still kept the title, but the Appropriations Committee became a separate committee as well.
So are you then on the appropriation side? What?
We're on the taxation side.
On the taxation side, okay.
So that, but on the taxation side, you have to come up with the ways to fund Social Security, to fund Medicare, to fund the infrastructure programs of the nation, to fund our military, et cetera. So it's one thing to appropriate it. Mm-hmm. The other thing is to actually fund it. And
Congressman, I got to get it off my chest early. One thing that really bothers me, you don't do it. But why can't people get along? I remember when people, it didn't matter if you were a Democrat or a Republican, the idea is what did it, and then you work together and the people benefited. But why is it changing?
Well, I think some of the elections get so contentious, and some of the interest groups and advocacy groups on the far right and the left lock down, and then they hold people's feet in the fire, and they make it very difficult for people to come to compromise. The majority of people in Congress, contrary to popular belief, would like to sit down and move the nation forward. We just did that in the most recent omnibus bill that passed now. An omnibus bill is no way to run a government. But what it demonstrated is that you could sit down and compromise on opiate abuse and make sure that that's funded, on the CHIP program, extending children's health care for 10 years, on making sure that we could agree on military spending and on domestic spending. Some would say that you didn't get enough domestic and there was too much military, but it was a compromise. And within that, I have five bills of my own that I worked on with five Republicans to pass, and one that will continue to make sure that Newman's Own, a great foundation, take all their money, not-for-profit. What a great vision by Paul Newman and, Bob Forster just does such a great job over there. But they were going to be out of business if they didn't get the tax exemption. They were going to have to come up with. So I sat down and we were able to work this out with Pat Tiberi and Sheriff Reichert, as I call him, on the other side. We were able to get that passed. You've heard me talk about Jim Tillerman from East Hartford, right? Wrongly accused. Well, we got that legislation. I worked on that with Sam Johnson, he's the chairman of the Social Security Committee. Point is that you have to work across the aisle in order to get things done. And the best legislation that we produce is not one that is by one party. It's when it's bipartisanly done. And even when you find legislation that you're able to pass, we passed the Affordable Care Act when we were in control. But it was flawed. It had a lot of problems with it, primarily because it was passed by one party. The tax bill that most recently passed here is a flawed bill, especially for Connecticut residents, that they'll find out not this April, but next April, for people who itemize their deductions. I would have Kevin Sullivan come in here sometime and go through this for people, because they're going to be in for a little bit of a surprise. But when you get together and work across the aisle bipartisanly, and there's so many things. For example, we have Bill Shuster coming back up here again, the chairman, Republican chairman of the Transportation Committee. Here's what Shuster says, and I know you'll both agree with this. He said, look, roads, bridges, levees, rail, airports, harbors, those aren't Republican or Democrat. They're American. Mm-hmm. And if we don't work together to move the nation forward, where will we be? So that's the vast majority of people in Washington. What prevents them from coming together is the polarization on the extremes. But you're seeing that start to erode. And let me, I saw President Trump yesterday with these kids from Florida and people in there. That was one of the most incredible things that I've witnessed, both the kids and I think the President Trump. I said this to a reporter yesterday. I said, you know, it took Nixon to go to China. It may take Trump to go to the NRA, and not just the NRA, but also on mental health issues, et cetera, that have been underfunded. And to see our people from Sandy Hook, who he also invited to that listening session, and these kids who were down there speaking, remarkable. So I'm hopeful that we're going to get the kind of change that we need. And the only way you're going to get that, the president was very inclusive in making sure that he had all different views that were appointed there. That's pretty rare, and he did it openly and in the public. And there will be some that will be snarky about it, but I believe that this is a positive step for us, and I think that Trump actually
is the president.
Too
bad the news media didn't say just what you said.
Well, I don't think they played it up enough. I'm reading more about the protests in Tallahassee yesterday, et cetera. But and you're right, I watched that yesterday too. That was riveting to see a president of the United States, and the messages were unfiltered. There were no special interests there. As you know, there were people there talking one-on-one with the president of the United States. And what was particularly interesting to me, Congressman, was that for the most part, he just sat there and listened, which was very interesting.
He did. And that's what he said he was going to do. And many were suspect or that it would be a staged event. You cannot stage what those kids said. And we know from Sandy Hook just how difficult this is. And to relive that. And I credit the people from Sandy Hook, too. They weren't down there they were down there pleading. And I think they see in this president someone who has been obviously strongly supported by the NRA as someone who could make that breakthrough. And I think that they're right about that. 76%, I believe, of the NRA supports universal background checks. And you keep hearing the president saying something's coming along this line. It will be a major breakthrough, and that could be a watershed for other pieces of legislation, including Social Security and other.
Social Security? Well, yeah, we'll get to that, but sticking with the gun control issue for just a moment, what do you advocate?
I think there should be universal background checks. I see no reason why we shouldn't be able to do that. That's not an infringement on anyone's constitutional rights. No one's coming to take anyone's guns away, but for God's sakes, you gotta have a background check on people so that you can't go get one of these AR-15s. You've heard one of the fathers or the kids say that an 18-year-old, God, you have to be 21 to be able to get a drink at a bar, but if you're 18, you could go buy an AR-15. And I think that's why so many common sense. Mike Thompson from California is a Vietnam veteran, a hunter, a gun owner, et cetera. He said all of his buddies, they get together, and they're very strong Second Amendment, but they're saying, come on, we need common sense. Now, is that in and of itself the panacea? No.
Should bump stocks be banned?
Yes, absolutely.
Should we raise the age to 21, as even the president talked about yesterday?
Yes. And
we can raise the age to 21,
and I think
you believe.
And I think you heard from a lot of people there, including Nicole Hockley from our own state, right, was saying, look, there's a number of things that you can do preventatively. Let's not just talk about the most contentious. Let's talk about things that we can do immediately within our schools and to prepare people, et cetera. So I think that this was a wellspring from which you're going to see a lot of positive ideas. Certainly the country needs it. We can't continue down this path where this becomes normal.
You know, one of the things that really bothers me, Congressman, is the schools, for example, it is just rampant, and there's such a fear now. And the parents, I mean, it's entirely different. I think we have to do something dramatically in the schools so that we can bring ourselves back to normal. I really, truly do. There's got to be action here.
Yeah, both the spokesmen from Sandy Hook, Nicole, and I know the gentleman's name, but it's not coming to me, did an excellent job of talking just about that, a dramatic change in school, and also saying that both of them were adamant, there are ways to prevent this. You know what I love about what they were saying, too? And it doesn't all just simply have to happen with government.
Right.
People can do this on their own, in from local school boards to parents who are activists to training and curriculum guidance and within our schools. And part of the president made an interesting point about mental health, too, and what do we do when we identify people today? And have we let those systems, go fallow that we once had before that were – got kind of stigmatized because they were institutions. And maybe we have to rethink and take a look at these as well. All in all, I thought, it covered the gambit. It wasn't specifically about one issue. It was inclusive, included people, including the students, who I just think have been magnificent. And so I do believe that there's going to be the kind of change. I sure hope so.
Brad, I know we have a traffic update, and then we'll be back with Congressman Larson.
Okay, right now, 7:47, and it is time to check traffic. Brought to you by Bouvier Insurance. I don't know how many of you have met the Bouvier family in West Hartford, but if you haven't, you should. And you won't have to ever worry again about insurance. They are just tremendous, and they're bringing you our traffic. And Cindy Waitman is bringing you the actual report, and she's with us every morning. Cindy, good morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Brad. We are working on that crash on 91 southbound in Enfield over by exit 46. We still have two lanes blocked up. Traffic is at a standstill in the area back through exit 48. Also, some slowdowns continuing your ride. Windsor Avenue into I-84, northbound side up Silestine Highway into Airport Road. 84 is on the brakes both ways through Waterbury. And we have tie-ups as you make your way from exits 41 into I-91. Westbound 84 is at a crawl, Governor Street to Sigourney Street. And look out on 9 North right before exit 13 in Middletown with a crash. This report is brought to you by Unbound.org. A girl in Kenya dreams of becoming a doctor. An elder in Guatemala dreams of being part of a community. Reach out and change their world, and it will change your own. Unbound.org. I'm Cindy Waitman, back at 8:07 with your next traffic check on the Talk of Connecticut.
And thank you. Thank you very much, Cindy. 7:49, 11 minutes now before the hour of 8 o'clock, and Congressman John Larson, our special guest until 8:30 this morning. So again, Congressman, as we move along, you think that there is going to be some hope and some movement?
I really do, and I think the president was dead serious. And when you have an open public forum of that nature, and I think he will move to bring legislation to the floor of the Congress.
Okay,
it is coming up to 10 minutes now before the hour of 8 o'clock, and we'll get back to Congressman Larson in just a couple of minutes.
I'm Jennifer Kishinka with Your Money Now. The SEC has issued new guidelines on cybersecurity disclosures for public companies, including suggestions for adjusting insider trading policies to account for investigations into cyber breaches. The SEC reiterated that cyber risks and incidents may fall under the scope of material non-public information, and corporate insiders could run afoul of the law by trading company securities while in possession of such information. The Trump administration is recommending retaining the government's power to seize and unwind a failing financial firm in a crisis, endorsing a plank of the 2010 Dodd-Frank financial law. The Treasury Department says it wants to correct what it describes as serious defects around how and when so-called orderly liquidation authority would be used. J.P. Morgan Chase plans to build new headquarters on Park Avenue in New York City, the first major project under a city rezoning plan designed to rejuvenate one of its biggest job centers. On Wall Street, futures modestly higher. Your money now.
It is 7:51, 9 minutes before 8 o'clock. Say, are you thinking about retirement? Well, I've got the group for you that can help. The trusted professionals at the Cowan Tax Advisory Group. Now, this is for individual tax preparation. $199. Listen carefully. This includes all schedules and retirement and investment tax planning. Yes, be proactive. And all you have to do is to give them a call, and they will manage your taxes. I'll tell you right now, and you are going to be happy. This is a tremendous family. I know them well. Call for your tax appointment today if you can. 860-676-1100. 860-676-1100. Yes, the Cowan Tax Group. com.
He asked you out, and you fell in love with his first kiss.
Mwah.
And now, you got engaged over the holidays.
I love you.
Plan your dream wedding. Save the date for the WDRC AM 1360 Women's Health, Beauty, and Bridal Expo. Sunday, February 25th, from 11 to 5 at Mohegan Sun. Brides go to plan everything. Women go to look younger and get the inside secrets in fashion, skincare, and women's health. Voted the number one wedding event in New England for over 15 years. Make it a dream wedding with creative ideas. Plan your special day in just one day with hundreds of wedding vendors with creative ideas and three New York-style runway fashion shows. Save the date for the WDRC AM 1360 Women's Health, Beauty, and Bridal Expo, Sunday, February 25th. Brought to you by Dr. Daniela Duke, specialists in reducing unwanted fat using Cool Sculpting, Dr. Michael Murphy at MontvilleChiropractic.com, and Burns Insurance. Find out more at TalkOfConnecticut.com.
News, weather, traffic, politics with Brad and Dan. This is the Brad and Dan Show on the Talk of Connecticut.
7:53 in the morning, Congressman John Larson, our special guest. Daniel?
Congressman, you mentioned the omnibus bill, and maybe you can set the record straight for us, because on the one hand, I'm hearing that this is going to be for 2 years. On the other hand, I'm hearing something runs out on March 23rd. What's going on here?
Well, there were a number of things. Within the omnibus bill contained the budget, right? But also, it continued, it hasn't been, they kicked the can, so to speak, to March 23rd in terms of another vote on the budget, but included in that vote were the new levels that we were calling for. So, for example, the CHIP program, that's the Children's right. Health Program, unprecedented 10 years of funding went into that. Previously, that it had been four, then six, now 10. That was a huge thing for us. The opioid epidemic, the relief for Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands and Florida and Texas and California fires, $90 billion was all in there as well. A budget at levels that lifted sequester for both the military and on the domestic side. The battle is always between them being equal. Military got slightly more. We're in a position, frankly, where the military, because of how long we've been actively at war, needed that extra money to do so. There are many on our side who said, well, we should have been equalized on the domestic side. I would agree with that, but that was the compromise that went forward. And so many things that were in this legislation for us that were beneficial. The whole Connecticut delegation, Senate and House, voted for a bill that was hotly debated on the right, primarily because they thought there was too much spending and it increased the national debt, and from the left because DACA wasn't included or a path forward for DACA wasn't included. Well, in the Senate, Mitch McConnell agreed to do that, and you saw they voted, and it didn't pass. I believe they've got to come back to that. We can't deport 750,000 kids, and it hasn't been taken up to the House, but Paul Ryan did make a commitment to do that, which we hope he does, and puts it on the floor, and said he put it on the floor and will stay there till we get something done.
Okay, and we'll get to that in a moment. But March 23rd, what's going to happen? We're not going to have another conversation about a government shutdown.
Well, that's how the extremes use the leverage to try to get something done. And so whether it's the Freedom Caucus in the House or whether it's some on the left, that's where the tension will be. But I think what's the important thing about that bill is that so many came together and said, no, we have to move the country forward. We can have these discussions and these disagreements. But as I was saying earlier, for most bills that come before Congress that are not contentious, there is bipartisan agreement, and there is a desire on people to continue to work along those lines. In elections, though, what happens is the extremes primary the very people that make those compromises. And so that's where, and they also are funded by interest groups as well.
Now,
and it happens on the left and on the right.
It sure does. It's happening not only at the national level, but the state level as well.
Yeah.
But so I just want to get this clear. I don't want to sound like a broken record. March 23rd, we're not going to have a government shutdown.
We will not have a government shutdown.
Okay. All right.
Let's make that announcement
now. Well, I mean,
but it's another deadline that is in front of, that is looming in front of people. Some will try to use it, but just by that vote that was taken in both chambers indicates to you, even if there are those who would try to leverage that, it won't happen.
Okay.
You then, Congressman, have gotten along pretty good with the president on some of this. Some of this stuff.
Well, you're actually, making it sound. Have you met with Trump?
Yes, I have.
I've
met with him. And listen, the president can be incredibly frustrating with his tweeting and getting all flummoxed and off subject. But when you're with him in a room one-on-one, he can also be very charming and also very direct about what he thinks ought to be done. So there's a number of areas, most notably infrastructure, where we can work together and will.
But the argument on his infrastructure bill is that it's long on promise but short on how the funding is going to take
place.
Absolutely
right, Dan, it is. And then he, 2 days after that, was meeting with Bill Schuster and others, and Chairman Schuster said to me, he said, in that meeting, he disagreed with his advisors and Mulvaney. He said, "You know, we can't do this. That highway to hell that Pence has in Indiana, that can't stand." No. He says, "I agree with the Democrats on this. We have to fund this more." In any given meeting, I'll tell you another person who I've met with within their administration, and I think this surprised people, but Ivanka Trump, who is, I would say, almost the antithesis of her father in terms of her style is grace and dignity and intellect and very calm but persuasive means. And here's what she's looking for. Paid family leave.
Well, the president even brought that out in his State of the Union address.
Well, he did. Mick Mulvaney, his budget director, she said to me, "Our own budget director is against this and doesn't put it in." But they're bucking a tide there, and
we're running out of time.
I think we're
going
to be able to put people together towards common good. That's the whole point of it.
News coming up. Congressman Larson back in the 8 o'clock hour.
WDRC-AM, WDRC-FM, HD3 Hartford, WSNG Torrington, WMMW Meriden. The Brad and Dan Show, presented by Footprint Shoes and Accessories.
They nearly drove all night I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. The Parkland, Florida students who took buses to the state capitol returned home around 4 o'clock this morning.
We are very much grieving. Our hearts are filled with sorrow, but that is what pushes us towards new hope.
Diego Pfeiffer and the other survivors are demanding stricter gun laws after last week's shooting at their high school that left 17 dead. Others from Parkland, like Kerry Gruber, the father of a student, joined those affected by other school shootings at the White House.
We have to do common sense. Please, Mr. Trump, these are things we have to do.
Fox's Rachel Sutherland is live in Washington.
Dave, at the listening session, President Trump said this.
Concealed carry for teachers and for people of talent.
This morning he tweeted that only the best, about 20% of teachers, would be able to carry a concealed firearm right now. Nicole Hockey, whose daughter died in the Sandy Hook school shooting 5 years ago, says she doesn't like the idea of arming teachers.
Rather than arm them with a firearm, I would rather arm them with the knowledge of how to prevent these acts from happening in the first place.
The president also tweeted that arming gun-adept teachers will allow them to immediately fire back if a savage sicko came to a school with bad intentions. Dave.
Rachel, a week after a deadly bombing near Damascus, Syria, with pro-government forces targeting a rebel-held area, Russia, which backs the Syrian regime, says it will consider supporting a UN-proposed ceasefire if it doesn't include ongoing operations targeting ISIS and al-Qaeda militants. Two more gold medals for the U.S. at the Olympics, the highest profile one in hockey.
38 years to the day since the miracle on ice, the U.S. women's hockey team won the gold medal, defeated four-time defending Olympic gold medalist Canada in a shootout, 3-2.
Fox's Jared Max. David Wise got the other gold in the ski halfpipe. The Americans now have 21 medals at the Winter Games in South Korea, 8 of those gold. This is Fox News, fair and balanced.
Hiring is important. People are what make your business work. But how do you find the right talent? ZipRecruiter makes it simple. One click sends your job ad to over 100 of the web's leading job boards. But ZipRecruiter doesn't stop there. Their smart matching technology will instantly alert quality candidates about your job. That means you'll start getting great candidates with the right experience almost as soon as your job is posted. No wonder 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one day. The right candidates are out there. This is how you find them. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
People from businesses of all sizes trust ZipRecruiter for their hiring needs. We're so confident ZipRecruiter will get you better results than anywhere else. We'll let you try it free. That's right, free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Days after the high school massacre in Florida, another potential shooting may have been averted in California.
Marino Chavez is a security officer at El Camino High School in L.A. County. He overheard a 17-year-old say there would be a shooting on campus.
He was angry with the teacher's issue about his cell phone in class.
Detectives found 4 weapons at his house and 90 high-capacity magazines. He was arrested for making threats. His older brother was arrested on a variety of weapons charges. Sheriff Jim McDonald says since the Parkland shooting in Florida, they've received 19 reports about threats of school violence.
People know what's going on. People read Facebooks. We can't read all of them. We try and do what we can to be responsible in monitoring social media.
So he's asking for people who see threats of violence on social media to contact law enforcement. Jessica Rosenthal, Fox News.
2 police officers have been shot. One was killed in Prince George's County, Maryland, while off duty yesterday. The gunman was killed by police. Another was wounded in Alabama, but not badly, by a suspect who died after also being shot by police. A private funeral is set for Reverend Billy Graham.
He just was always a gracious, kind man. I can't say that enough.
Ruth Graham tells the Fox News Rundown podcast her father's legacy is in the many lives he changed, preaching the gospel.
Billy Graham will be laid to rest in Charlotte on March 2nd at the library that bears his name. Family spokesman Mark DeMoss says the remembrance is of Graham's own design.
It was Mr. Graham's explicit intent that his funeral service reflect and reinforce the gospel message he preached for more than 60 years.
Graham will be buried next to his wife, Ruth, who died in 2007. His son, Franklin Graham, will speak at the service, as will his other children. President Trump and Vice President Pence will be invited, as will all other living former presidents. Gernal Scott, Fox News.
On Wall Street, stock futures are flat before today's trading. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News Radio.
Good morning. This is Erin Connolly for Channel 3 Eyewitness News. Looking for common ground on gun control. Yesterday, President Donald Trump sat down with survivors and the families of those killed in school shootings, including Sandy Hook. He held a listening session and pledged action, including the possibility of arming teachers. One of those participating is Nicole Hockley, who lost her son Dylan. Since the Sandy Hook shooting more than 5 years ago, Hockley has dedicated her life to fighting gun violence. Turning to the latest on the Florida school shooting, students from Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School rallied at Florida's state capitol and lobbied legislators for new gun laws. They want to prevent mass shootings like the one that killed 17 of their classmates and teachers last week by enacting stricter background checks and raising the age to purchase an assault rifle. Christian evangelist Billy Graham has died. He is credited with bringing the born-again religious movement into the American mainstream. Graham was 99 years old. And the countdown to opening day of the Hartford Yard Goats is on. Officials say all seats are sold out, but they have released a limited amount of standing room tickets. The Yard Goats will play 70 home games at Dunkin' Donuts Park this season. The 2018 season kicks off on April 5th at 7:05 against the New Hampshire Fisher Cats. That's the news on the Talk of Connecticut. I'm Erin Connolly, Channel 3 Eyewitness News.
This is Father Edna Donnelly from the Good News Fund. Let us pray. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Jesus, I love you more today than yesterday, less today than tomorrow.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
At Ace, save on just what you need to take care of your home. Get our coupon at acehardware.com and save 25% on a regular priced item under $50. That's right, 25% off on the product of your choice. And only Ace has the brands you love and the advice you trust. So hurry in and get your 25% savings now through Monday only at your neighborhood Ace. Offer valid with coupon at participating stores through February 26th. Limit 1. Exclusions apply. See coupon.
Protecting data across modern decentralized networks presents challenges that traditional backup solutions can't handle. At best, you'll waste time and money managing multiple solutions. At worst, gaps in coverage will leave your data vulnerable. Barracuda Backup is a single cloud-integrated solution that simplifies the backup process and allows data replication to anywhere on your network, a private cloud, Barracuda's cloud, or to the AWS public cloud. Reclaim your data. Try Barracuda Backup free at barracuda.com/backup.
The Talk of Connecticut, Bouvier Insurance Traffic.
Watch out for delays if you're taking a ride on 91 southbound in the Enfield area right around exit 46. We had an earlier crash. 84 westbound's all jammed up, Governor Street to Sigourney Street. Watch out for tie-ups. 84 eastbound exits 41 into I-91. 9 northbound with a smash by exit 13 in Middletown. It's a two-car accident. It's been pushed off onto the shoulder near Harbor Park. There are heavy delays. 691 Zoon, all right, over Meriden Mountain. 2 westbound is slowing through Glastonbury. More tie-ups as you approach the Founders Bridge. I'm Cindy Waitman, back at 8:15 with your next traffic check on the Talk of Connecticut.
Getting your morning started with all the information you need. The Brad and Dan Show, the Talk of Connecticut.
8 minutes after 8 o'clock, cloudy, chilly, a little on the wintry side, little rain, but about an inch, they're saying. But it's not going to be dangerous, and it's not going to be that bad, except maybe in the northern Connecticut area. But the temperature is going to be around 40 degrees. And tonight, mostly cloudy. Precipitation will end, and down around 27 tonight. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy. Rain developing during the afternoon. The high near 40. And let's see, right now we got Mansfield at 48, Canton at 45. Hartford and Waterbury at 48 degrees. Congressman John Larson, our special guest, and this is something that has always been a bugaboo as far as I'm concerned in this whole Social Security thing, and a lot of people are frightened that it's going to run out, it's going to do this, it's going to do that, and there's nobody that understands it better than Congressman John Larson, Dan.
So, is the Social Security Fund solvent, and how long will it be solvent?
Well, the Social Security Fund is solvent, but if we don't make adjustments to it actuarially, its ability to pay out will diminish. Brad was saying before, Social Security will never run out. Well, Social Security is the full faith and credit of the United States government. And unless the United States government runs out, it will not. But unless we, Dan, to your point, actuarially make it sound, what will happen on both the disability side and then on the pension and survivor benefit side, it would diminish what the payout would be. At a time when, you ready for this? 10,000 baby boomers a day become eligible for Social Security. That's why the urgency is to take action now, so you don't, at a time when they're going to need more in their benefits, not less. And if you look at what's happening statistically, I was at the Pratt & Whitney Retirement Club yesterday, and I was saying to them, women especially, because they were at home and they were raising their children, and because when they were in the workforce, for every dollar a male made, they made 77 cents. So they have fewer quarters and less money paid into the program. And on average, their Social Security is between $12,000 and $14,000, period. And for more than 50% of all single women in America, that's all they have. So what we've done is said we need to fix this program, and we need to do it in a way that's actuarially sound. Now, why do I say that? Because Social Security is insurance. It's paid for out of your paycheck, part by the employer, part by you. It's called FICA. What does that stand for? Federal Insurance Contribution. Whose? Yours. The Federal Contribution Act is the item on your paycheck which we take out both Social Security and Medicare. We haven't touched that since 1983. We haven't adjusted that actuarially. And had they, back in 1983, indexed this fund, we probably wouldn't be having this discussion, because it is the full faith and credit of the United States government, and it would have moved along incrementally. So what we're proposing is to both enhance the fund to keep pace with the needs that people require. The AARP, for example, has said, well, you're going to need something in there that actually calculates a COLA, not based on just the consumer price index and what millennials and Gen X are buying, but explicitly on what the elderly purchase, which primarily is medical, pharmaceutical, heating and cooling their homes, and nutrition. And that's what should determine your COLA. And by putting that in, we feel quite confident that the elderly will be able to keep pace with this. We also give a 2% across-the-board increase to everyone, because the program hasn't had one since 1983. We also then say that we need to provide a tax break for people that are seniors and working. It surprises, they say, how are you going to give us a tax break with Social Security? Well, it might surprise you to know that if you're single and make more than $24,000 and you're Social Security eligible, you're taxed on that Social Security. If you're a married couple in Connecticut and make more than $32,000 combined, you're taxed on your Social Security. We move that to $50,000 per individual and $100,000 per couple, and then index that actuarially. And then the last thing we do is also make sure that we're paying for this. We make sure that no woman, as I said before, can retire into poverty. How do we do that? We have the federal government set the floor for Social Security, as determined by all the federal agencies, to be 125% of what they determine the poverty level is. Nobody's going to get wealthy on this, but also nobody is going to fall below the poverty line. And this is especially true for women. So then you say, well, that's great, John, but how are you going to pay
for it? That's the question.
Because people keep saying it's not going to be there for us in the future. How are we going to determine this? And by law, we are supposed to have a program that is 75 years solvent on the books. And so that's where the controversy comes in. And some have said, well, here's what we have to do. Because people are living longer and because they're living longer, they should wait to get on Social Security.
Right.
And because the longer they live, the more expensive end of life becomes, we should cut Social Security at the back end. Does that make any sense to anyone who's in that situation? No. And depending upon the kind of job you had throughout your life, if you were a laborer and a worker, et cetera, and your hands are gnarled and your back is broke, et cetera, there isn't that opportunity for you to wait, depending upon the physical job, the stress of a job as well. Not necessarily a job like a U.S. congressman has, but for most people. So what we've said is, no, let's keep these rates the same as they are, but let's make sure that we're paying for them. Had it been indexed back in 1983, we wouldn't have to do this. So I said, let's increase the fund by 1%. Now, increase the contribution that you make by 1%.
What is the split now? Is it like 6.5%?
That's right. That's right. 6.4. So, and here's the situation. So if we increased it by 1%, but even 1%, because remember, the employer pays half.
Right.
Although the employer gets a tax break for that. Mm-hmm. That's still on the books. Mm-hmm. So the employer gets to write it off, but the individual doesn't. But the individual, on the other hand, gets the greatest benefit package ever assembled by any country in the world. If you could find in the private market, and I have this discussion all the time, an insurance benefit, a spousal benefit, dependent coverage, a disability policy, and a pension guarantee, buy it. But there's no such vehicle on the market, and it would be so cost expensive. What allows us to do this is the full faith and credit of the United States government and everybody buying in conjunction. So we're out to make sure that, and so 1% increase. But even that, I said, let's phase that in over 25 years. In essence, making up for what would have been the incremental adjustment had it been made.
So the companies would also have it phased in on their part,
exactly,
too. But would they continue to get the tax write-off?
Yes.
Okay.
And how about this? This is where the Starbucks comes in. Everywhere I go, I hold this up, and someone says, they say, why do you bring a Starbucks? I says, how much do you think this latte cost? Sure enough, like clockwork yesterday at the Pratt & Whitney Retirement Club, they all said, $4.50. I said, that's right. I said, or if you're making $50,000 a year, this is 9 weeks of Social Security payments. If you're making $100,000 a year, it costs you $1 a week. If you're making $400,000 a year, right, it costs more to buy this latte than it would for us to fix Social Security for that week. So when you put it in that perspective, so don't think that this is some big number that we can't get our arms around. We can. We phase it in to make it more palatable, and then also we do something called scrap the cap on people making over $400,000, okay, which is 0.4% of the nation. They get more benefits for it, and therefore we make the program solvent beyond the 75-year requirement, which is why we're the only plan in the United States Congress that has an actuary report that says it'll make itself, and other people have ideas.
Hold that thought. I know we're coming up on traffic.
Things are sounding pretty good there.
Don't worry about your Social Security, Brad.
Don't you either. All these folks would. No, no. It is 18 minutes after 8 o'clock in the morning, and let us check and see just how the bumper-to-bumper crowd is doing. And, of course, it's the traffic time with Cindy, brought to you by Bouvier Insurance. Remember, if you need insurance, there's only one as far as I'm concerned, and that is Bouvier Insurance, located in West Hartford, but they service people all over the country. Now, Cindy, good morning again. How's it look?
Good morning, Brad. On Route 9 northbound, a crash over by exit 13 near Harbor Park was cleared away. On 91 north, we're going slow as you approach exit 36 for Park Avenue. There's southbound backups in that stretch between 291 and I-84. 84 westbound is slammed from Governor Street to Sigourney Street. Eastbound delays exits 41 out to I-91. And two westbounds going slow through Glastonbury. More delays as you approach the Founders Bridge. Route 8 south also is sluggish through Derby, exits 17 through 14. This report is brought to you by the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation. The Crohn's and Colitis Foundation invites you to take steps for cures at a walk event near you. Get started at cctakesteps.org. Pittsburgh. I'm Cindy Waitman back at 8:34 with your last traffic check on the Talk of Connecticut.
20 minutes after 8 o'clock, you know, I have been talking for a long time about lenses only. Told you how I met them when were they just starting a business. And pretty soon they're going to have four areas to cover. And it's because they say to you, you come in here and you just want lenses, we got the lenses. It's not like the big companies. You got to buy the whole thing or they don't sell you any lenses. Not at Lenses Only. Now, if you need lenses, wait until you see what they've got. They've got the best. And this is the reason that it doesn't cost you as much when you go to Lenses Only. Nope, doesn't cost like the big retail stores. Now, I'll tell you what you do. You can go to Bloomfield, Hartford, Meriden, and pretty soon out in Avon, there'll be another store. These guys really know what they're doing. Many of you know Tom and Steve personally. That's the kind of guys they are. 860-769-2020 is the telephone number. You can give them a call. You can go in. You can spend some time with them. 860-769-2020. And remember, Lenses Only, where lenses are always on sale.
Brad, final minutes with our guest in our Touchpoints Rehab interview chair, Congressman John Larson. And obviously, DACA, the omnibus bill, gun control, these are all issues that are on the table. So where does Social Security fit into the debate as far as something being an urgent subject?
Well, sadly, and I commend my co-chair, Sam Johnson. He very much wants to have a hearing on this. This bill comes to the floor. I guarantee you it will pass. I've even said we'll go to Plano, Texas, which is his hometown, and have a hearing on the bill. I don't care where we have it, but it deserves a hearing, and people need to know that this program, A, is not going to fail, as I think we've discussed this morning, but B, needs to be enhanced appropriately, and you can't ignore the 10,000 baby boomers a day that are becoming eligible. You can't just kick the can down the road and then say, oh, we don't have the funds running out of money. We're going to have to diminish your benefit. So I hope that there's more of a sense of urgency when we get back. But I think there's a strong possibility that we'll take back the House of Representatives in November. And look, the president stood on the stage with 16 other Republicans, and he was the only person who said, I will not cut Social Security or Medicare. I will seek to enhance and improve it. That's what this bill does.
The president said that.
He said that.
So you like your chances of meeting the
deputy? He wouldn't cut it. And then he said in another statement, these programs need to be improved and enhanced.
But you like the chances of the Democrats taking back the House in
the
fall?
I do like the chances.
Why is that? What do you see?
Well, I think because the, as you see in the House of Representatives, when you pass a tax bill and you pass it, you know, in a partisan manner, and it impacts people disproportionately, and especially when you're working in the middle class and you are already, you know, paying taxes pretty substantially, and then you find that in Connecticut we're a donor state, meaning we send more money to the federal government than we receive back. Now we're receiving less money from the federal government, and you're paying more money into it. What it amounts to, because of the what they call the SALT provision or state and local tax provision, which has been on the books since 1913 and recognized by the IRS, that without that, in essence, it's double taxation on those citizens who itemize deductions. Now, not all citizens do. And so if you're going to get a doubling of your deduction, et cetera, but lose all the capability, you're saying, well, geez, I'm made out okay. But for people who itemize their deductions and who have relied on SALT, they're going to see that they're going to have an increase in taxes, not a decrease.
Now, Congressman, I've read where 116,000 filers itemize in Connecticut, which means the majority of the people don't itemize.
It's 750,000.
Okay. All right. So
how many?
750,000.
Because I read one figure, 116,000.
Because remember, it's a population in the state of Connecticut of, you know, roughly 3.4 million people. And these are not my statistics. Right. And that's why I suggest having Kevin
Sullivan, we'll get him on.
Because he will go through, I think, factually where people are. And the thing is, no one's going to notice that this April because this is going to be based
the
on
following.
Your 2018 returns.
But the Republicans will argue that most of the people who itemize are people who are making a pretty decent living, the so-called upper middle class rich.
Yeah.
And the Republicans are the ones being accused of protecting the rich, and this supposedly doesn't protect the rich.
Well, it doesn't protect the middle class. It does protect the rich. If you just have where they said they weren't going to lower the top rate, and you lower the top, you know, Trump said, we're not going to lower the top rate. And I believe that's what he meant. And then in order to make up that money, I mean, it's still $1.5 trillion, and when you calculate it out, it's $2.3 trillion in debt. And when you see that money disproportionately going to the very top, I'm not talking about the corporations. And even there, where we had, both Democrats and Republicans were for tax reform. Both Democrats and Republicans were for lowering the rate. The question, where was that point going to be, and then how would you pay for it? I argue that we should pay for it by a carbon tax, which is what Jim Baker, George Shultz, Art Laffer, current Secretary Tillerson, and Mnuchin, and Cohen, and others have argued for a long time. Very Republican concept, because it gives you the money, the revenue that you need without having to put the burden on someone else. So here's the rub. Where do they get that money from? Well, they get it from what typically would be a deduction by way of a refund to someone in a blue state, in this case, the Northeast and the West Coast. And so that amounts to double taxation.
Okay, so a couple of things. First of all, you believe that the tax cut issue will be the determining factor in the House going to the Democrats?
One of the determining factors.
What would some of the others be?
The jobs, the infrastructure bill, Social Security. These are all issues that deserve a vote, should be taken up. And as you pointed out, Dan, the bill, the current proposal on infrastructure is incredibly light. And in fact, if what they're saying is, and this is some of the conservatives' thinking, is that we should spend less money should come out of the federal government and more out of the state. So what they're saying is for every $6 that the state puts up, the federal government would put up $1. That never was the case, especially when you're dealing with interstate highways. And as we've had discussions here on the tunnels, that I-84, 91 are both federal interstate highways that are one of the worst engineering examples in the country about what needs to be done. Absolutely.
The late Mayor Mike had the great line, "I'd like to punch the guy in the face who designed this." But I'll leave that to the late Mayor Mike.
He was the best, wasn't
he? Yeah. But so let me get this straight then. The president has floated the idea of raising the gas tax as much as 25 cents a gallon. Would you be interested in that?
I'm interested in anything that funds the infrastructure program that allows us to move forward. There, Peter DeFazio, the ranking Democrat on transportation, has a similar kind of proposal. When the president sat back down again, and this is what Bill Schuster, the Republican, told me, he's advocating a gas tax. And he said the same thing. He came to me, he says, I know you're in favor of a pollution tax, but I'd be in favor of anything that pays for and gives states the wherewithal to do the projects that we need. But I do think it has to be paid for. And for God's sake, why wouldn't we toll it with all the capability that we have for the ongoing maintenance that will be required and for the fact that nearly 40 to 60%, depending upon who you talk to, traffic runs through Hartford that never stops there. We subsidize every other state who has tolls. Why shouldn't they help pay for the
Senator tolls?
Well, we have Senator Kissel coming on after you. He's opposed to tolls, so we'll get into that aspect of it. We have about 30 seconds left.
If he's got a better way to pay for it, then I'm all for it. But I think they have to be paid for, and I think most Americans will agree with that. And now, you know, even in other states where you have the ability, where local residents who utilize this don't pay the same or have a pass. And with the electronics today where you could just fly through there, we're going to have to come to an understanding realization that there has to be user fees if we're going to maintain roads and maintenance and improve access. I went out to...
Congressman, we're out of time. Wish we had more time.
We've got to be back to talk about
Absolutely.
Elon Musk and SpaceX and Hyperloops and how we're going to bring economic development to this region.
Will you come back?
Come back anytime. Anytime.
All right.
Thanks,
That's
Congressman.
That's fabulous. Thanks a million. Thank you so much, really. Okay, it's 8:30 already. My gosh, Dan, the time is flying when you're having fun.
Fox News Radio.